The following programming is sponsored by BLS Productions. The views expressed do not necessarily reflect the views of this station, its management, or Beasley Media Group.
This week has been a little crazy. Sit back and get your recap of what happened and what is happening in sports, entertainment, movies, TV, politics, technology, and current events. You can count on getting a dose of comedy, great guests, fun, the best talk around, and even more outrageous fun. That's why we love those two guys. Fun, fascinating, and real. We are live with the Brian and Lee Show. So unbelievable, we could not make this stuff up, even if we tried.
And it's great to be back here on another Friday morning here in the Delaware Valley. I'm Brian.
I'm Lee.
And this is the Brian and Lee Show, coming at you on WWDB 860 AM. And would you believe it's October already?
Yeah, we're getting there.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing.
That's right.
The Eagles were off this week.
They needed it badly.
Yeah, they were terrible the week before. Yeah, mm-hmm. They had a bye.
They had a mental bye, and yeah. Now they had a physical bye.
They're going to be bye bye if they have another game like this. Yeah, man.
Pretty much.
You talk about stinking the joint up.
Mm-hmm.
Man, terrible. Terrible.
Terrible. Absolutely.
The Chiefs keep winning.
Of course they do.
Because my theory is they have a secret weapon. Taylor Swift was in the stands.
Oh, I thought you were talking about the referee wearing red.
Oh, that too. Yeah. That too. Yeah, Taylor Swift was, mm-hmm. You know, Kelsey had to play good or even better than good.
Mm-hmm. Otherwise, you wouldn't go back to the Barbie dream house.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but that's all right. Mm-hmm. You know, they got their thing. They're doing their thing.
They are.
Tom Brady's doing a lot better as a broadcaster.
Mm-hmm.
He took my notes.
Yes, he did.
From the first week, and he incorporated. He went back and he worked on it. You know, I'm glad to see that.
Exactly. But, you know, the thing is, he had to make his own stick-on notes because he couldn't read your handwriting.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. He called me a few times.
Mm-hmm.
He said,
"Wait, what does this say?"
Yeah,
this looks like Charlie Brown handwriting.
Yeah, well, it is. Yeah, kind of. But football's in full swing. I watched a lot of it this weekend. I watched college. I watched Penn State. Man, they have a good team.
They're also undefeated, aren't they?
Yes, yes, they are. Undefeated Penn State. Who would have thought that? Man.
Meaning, I definitely wouldn't have.
But I like it. I like it.
You bet. And the Phillies are making us crazy with this divisional series.
Yeah, well, someone has to make us crazy, you know.
Exactly.
You know, why?
Why? Yeah. It was a Rocky II fight.
Yeah.
Literally.
It was back and forth.
Back and forth. One run, two runs, home run, run. Run spot run, C spot run.
I just don't think they have the offense to outplay all these teams.
Well, and everybody's firing on all cylinders, they have it.
Well, yeah, but they're not consistent, you know. Mm-hmm. So tell me, how do you beat L.A. Dodgers? How do you beat some of the better teams, you know?
How do you do that? With the long ball.
Yeah, okay. Mm-hmm. All right.
You need another Matt Stairs who can come off the bench.
And you need to have hitting.
Exactly.
Offense at the right time.
And you need small ball. You need stealing bases.
Yeah.
You need bunting. Bunting has to come back.
Yeah. How about a hot dog in the stands?
Hot dog in the stands?
Yeah.
What does that have to do with anything?
Well, when there's no action, mm-hmm. That was my move.
Oh, really?
Going up and getting a hot dog, especially for my son,
uh-huh,
who is bothering me. But that was my go-to move. Mm-hmm. You know?
Are you sure you're not talking about the Eagles again?
No, we're talking about the Phillies.
Mm-hmm.
And
I don't recall you being at a Phillies game that often.
I was at the Phillies game. Mm-hmm. And, you know, what's interesting to me
is what?
Is I was watching the game on TV, and somebody stole my move. I saw this guy coming back down with hot dogs in his hand.
Oh, dang.
Didn't help the Phillies one bit, but...
No, it did not.
I thought it was good. I thought it was pretty good.
Did he have one in each hand or two in each hand?
One in each hand. Yeah.
You know, that's the real fan is when you can get four hot dogs back at once.
Yeah, well, that's Dollar Dog Day. They don't. They did away with that.
Yeah, they did.
Yeah, they're charging like, what, $6 for a hot dog? Outrageous.
Well, it was funny. I watched the NLCS preview from 1993.
Yeah.
And apparently a hot dog at the vet in 1993 was $2.50.
Yeah, true. Well, you know,
I'd just about go back to that, then pay $6 for one hot dog.
Your cousin Tommy was complaining because he went to New York City,
mm-hmm.
and he got a hot dog for $9. A $9 hot dog.
On the street?
I don't know where he got it from.
I was going to say, $9 hot dogs, those are not on the street. That's usually in the stadium.
No, well, he didn't go to a game. This was like,
did it have gold shavings on top?
I don't know. You know, $9
or golden onions
is a lot, even for New York City.
Exactly.
But I believe it. Yeah, you know, mm-hmm. I believe that prices could have gone up that high.
Sure. But, you know, again, I don't remember. Well, then again, I don't remember ever buying a hot dog on the street in New York.
No. So tell me your predictions for the Phillies. What do you think?
Heartache, heartburn.
Yeah.
I can't even take it anymore after only two games.
Right. They could be out of here. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, we'll see.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, that second game took a lot out of me.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The ups and downs, the roller coasters, like crazy.
Exactly.
Right? One of my favorite players of all time passed away. He died.
Mm-hmm.
Pete Rose.
Part of that 1980 World Championship team.
They called
who went through more than what the Phillies are going through right now because they had to go through four extra inning ball games.
Yeah.
To reach the World Series.
And I was there. That year I went to a lot of games and I saw Charlie Hustle.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they called him, Charlie Hustle.
The only Philly to play every day that year.
Yeah, and he gave it, you know, 100.
And 90.
90%. Mm-hmm. You know, he gave it all. Man, he was one heck of a player. And he didn't have all the talent in the world. And he didn't have, you know, the size, the mm-hmm. strength. But what would he do?
He got on base.
Mm-hmm. And made the most of what he could do. He got hits. He got so many hits that he took the record, right?
That's right. 4,256.
Which still stands today.
That's correct.
So, you know.
And he probably also has the record of being hit by a pitch.
Right. Probably.
That wouldn't surprise me.
But do you think he gets into the
Yeah, I think now's the time because they didn't want to have him be around when it happened.
Right. So you think he's going to get into the
Yeah, they're going to posthumously put him in
Hall of Fame or mm-hmm. whatever. Well, what's it called?
Posthumously.
Yeah. But is it the Hall of Fame or?
Yeah, it's the Hall of Fame.
Oh, Hall of Fame. Okay.
Yeah. You know, like the Wall of Fame, I don't think he'll ever get.
For the Phillies.
Right, exactly.
He should get it.
Mm-hmm. No, but after those allegations came out about the 14-year-old, then.
That was it.
So that took him off.
That took him off.
The eligibility.
Well, okay.
In fact, I think they were going to put him on that year, and then that came out, and then they scrapped it.
He was a character, that's for sure. You mm-hmm. know, but on the field, He gave it his all. Mm-hmm. I used to see him at the stadium.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I used to see him at the Vet Stadium a mm-hmm. lot because I would go to the boxes for
oh,
company.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And he would pop in every yeah. now and then. Yeah.
No kidding.
Oh, yeah. And usually he had
and,
a...
And he admitted...
He had a blonde on his arm.
He admitted on that one play in the last game, yeah, that was my play.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
I just didn't get there fast enough.
Yeah.
But he got there with enough time to scoop up the ball before it hits the ground.
Yeah, he played hard. He knocked over people.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
something you can't do anymore.
Yeah, he stepped on people's mm-hmm. feet with his cleats, you know.
In fact, when the Giants beat the Phillies in 2010, Bruce Bochy, the guy Pete Rose knocked over, was the manager.
Oh.
And so I had a feeling that once they won it, I kept saying that Bruce Bochy waited 30 years to get back at the Phillies for knocking him over.
Yeah, yeah. It could have happened. I don't know.
Could have been, yeah.
But once you've seen a player like Pete Rose play live,
mm-hmm.
that's it. That's like these guys that play today don't even hold a candle.
I think the only one that came close was Chase Utley.
Maybe Chase. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But I, you know, Pete Rose was a special type of player.
Absolutely.
He was the old style player, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I would say like Ty Cobb, Babe Ruth, you mm-hmm. know. He was that type of player. Played hard.
Exactly. And played harder.
And played harder, yeah.
In other departments.
That's true. but no one could take away what he did on the field.
Not at all.
And we're not even going to try to do that.
No. The Phillies don't have a ring without Pete Rose.
No. No.
For sure.
No, that team was special in 1980.
Mm-hmm.
It certainly was special. And here we have it today. We have mm-hmm. Kansas City.
Kansas City in the playoffs. Phillies in the playoffs.
So who
we
knows?
We could have a rematch.
You could, but I don't see a player on the Phillies like Pete Rose.
No.
Who's the leader?
Who's the leader?
Yeah.
Bryce Harper.
All right, mate, you're right. Okay, I stand corrected. Maybe Bryce Harper.
I mean, you watched that second game with us, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, they were doing nothing, and then Harper literally catalyzes or catapults the offense with the two-run home run.
Yeah, he did. All right. Wow.
So and if Harper is not the leader, then definitely Schwarber is.
Yeah.
I mean, think about it. For a leadoff hitter, you got to set the tone one way or another, either with a home run or with a walk or with a hit.
True.
And stealing.
True.
Second and third.
Right.
You know, Lenny Dykstra did that. Jimmy Rollins did that.
Yeah.
Those were real leadoff hitters.
Yeah, they were real players.
Mm-hmm. They would make the pitchers crazy.
True. True. Wow. We got a great show for you today. Ira Shapiro, who's been on the show before, he's coming on. We're going to talk election.
That's
it's election
right.
time. It's 28 days the, away.
Importance and the possible consequences.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we're less than 30 days away from...
Exactly.
From this going on.
And... We would be 12 days away from a would-be debate, but as we all know, one side is hiding.
Right. Yeah. So we watched a movie, a baseball movie,
mm-hmm.
which I highly recommend. You Gotta Believe is the name of the movie. It's about Little League Baseball. It's about...
Going to the Little League World Series after you finished pitifully.
Yeah. They took a team that couldn't get out of its way, was dead last, and they take them to the World Series in 2002, and this team becomes great becomes, you know, almost wins it, you know, and it's an inspirational movie.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I think it's worth seeing. I put it up there with the Rocky movies.
Mm-hmm.
Don't you?
Yep. Well, if you're talking about inspirational baseball movies, I would put it up there with like A League of Their Own.
Yeah. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I'll buy that. Yeah. Good movie.
Yep. Maybe even The Sandlot.
Well, the guy who...
The guy who says, "You're killing me, Smalls," is in that movie.
Yeah, he's in the movie. Doesn't have a huge part.
But, no, he's the guy with the money.
Yeah, who says, you know...
You got to start winning or else you're going to lose your sponsors.
Yeah, so they do it. They go to... and it's kind of sad because their coach... has cancer.
Exactly.
And
we're going to leave it at that. We're not going to spoil it.
We won't spoil it for
mm-hmm.
you. But.
Box of Tissues is mandatory.
Yeah. It's a sad movie, inspirational movie.
I'm going to be honest. The way you guys are describing that, I thought you were talking about the Bad News Bears for the longest time. And I was like, well, are they playing a joke on us? Or?
No, it's based on the Bad News Bears, I think. Well, I mean, no, it's based on a true story, but...
It's a true story.
But so was the Bad News Bears, I thought.
Yeah. I watched this team in 2002, so I remember them going to the Little League World Series.
Mm-hmm.
But they were, when they started, they couldn't field, they couldn't do anything. The manager moved some people around, which...
Who were better at other positions than what they were playing.
Yeah.
This is the Little League World Series in Cooperstown or somewhere else? Am I forgetting where?
Oh,
it
in
is?
Pennsylvania.
Pennsylvania.
Williamsport.
Williamsport. Okay, yeah.
Yeah. But it was in 2002.
Yeah. But if you want to think about Bad News Bears, actually, Major League is more like that.
Yeah. Well, we're going to come back and.
We're going to be talking with our guest, Ira Shapiro.
Don't go anywhere.
The world ain't all sunshine and rainbows. It's a very mean and nasty place, and I don't care how tough you are, it will beat you to your knees and keep you there permanently if you let it. You, me, or nobody is going to hit as hard as life. But it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward, how much you can take and keep moving forward. That's how winning is done. Now, if you know what you're worth, then go out and get what you're worth. But you got to be willing to take the hits and not pointing fingers saying you ain't where you want to be because of him or her or anybody. Cowards do that, and that ain't you. You're better than that.
The man in the arena. It's not the critic who counts. Not the man who points out how the strong man stumbles or where the doer of deeds could have done them better. The credit belongs to the man who is actually in the arena, whose face is marred by dust and sweat and blood, who strives valiantly, who errs, who comes up short again and again, because there is no effort without error and shortcoming, but who does actually strive to do the deeds, who knows great enthusiasms, the great devotions, who spends himself in a worthy cause, who at the best knows in the end the triumph of high achievement, and who at the worst, if he fails, at least fails while daring greatly, so that his place shall never be with those cold and timid souls who neither know victory nor defeat.
Hi, this is Kelsey Grammer. When military service members head into battle, none are expected to face the enemy alone, but many return home and become isolated as they struggle with the visible and invisible wounds of war. It can be difficult knowing how to overcome that challenge and rekindle bonds similar to those formed in the military. Wounded Warrior Project supports these injured veterans through their recoveries by connecting them with fellow warriors and their communities. No one should fight this battle alone. Join us at WoundedWarriorProject.org.
I'm Ben Affleck, and I want to thank you for joining me and supporting Paralyzed Veterans of America.
I joined the Navy to serve my country. While parachuting with my platoon, my parachute didn't open, and I broke my neck.
Thanks to PVA, paralyzed veterans are getting specialized medical care and treatments, the jobs they want, and the accessible vehicles and homes they need.
I just don't think my family would be as happy as they are without the support that I received from Paralyzed Veterans of America.
Learn more at PVA.org.
When it comes to the father and son team, you got to listen to Brian and Lee. It's the only way to go. They entertain some of the coolest things from the past to the future to right now. So tune in.
You're listening to the number one father and son team on radio, The Brian and Lee Show.
And we're back with on this Friday morning in the Delaware Valley. It's great to be here. And it's a real privilege and a pleasure to have on the guest line Ira Shapiro. Ira's been around in politics forever. I mean, he doesn't go back to Lincoln, but but he goes back to, you know, the Clintons and Al Gore. And when you think of Democratic politics, you think of Ira Shapiro. And his book is The Last Great Senate, Courage and Statesmanship in Times of Crisis. It's an appropriate book for today.
Absolutely it is.
But, Ira, how are you?
Gentlemen, I'm fine. Thank you for having me on. And while that book, which I think is appropriate for the time, my most recent book is also appropriate, which was The Betrayal, How Mitch McConnell and the Senate Republicans Abandoned America.
That's right.
So there's plenty to talk about. Thanks for having me.
Oh, yeah.
It's great to have you back.
It's great to have you back. And, you know, I think, you know, you were involved with, you know, behind the scenes of politics and prepping candidates and picking the vice presidential candidates. This year is something for the books, isn't it?
Oh, look, this has been an extraordinary year. We all knew it was going to be a important and year with some unpredictable developments, but this has exceeded our expectations. The stepping down of Joe Biden and the handoff to Kamala Harris was unprecedented, and we're still dealing with the implications of that. So it's been an extraordinary year. And look, it's a privilege for me to talk with you since you're at ground zero in the state that everyone thinks is not only a battleground state, but potentially the most important battleground state.
Exactly. And I never thought I'd see the day where Pennsylvania actually becomes possibly the clinching state.
Well, you know, it is. And Pennsylvania is kind of a scary state because you have Philadelphia and Pittsburgh, and they're pretty much Democratic strongholds. But then you have these counties where are solid red, you know, and Trump does a rally up in one of these areas and he draws big crowds and they love him up there. You know, so do we know how it's going to go? I think, in my experience, you got to draw 400,000 people, the Democratic Party does, in Philadelphia. And if you don't do that, probably it's going to be hard to win.
So I think that, you know, I've followed Pennsylvania over the years and went to law school at Penn, so I've been very interested in the state. To some extent, I guess it's a little bit of a microcosm of the country, isn't it? Where there are some blue areas, and then it's offset by considerable areas in less urban, more rural areas that tend to be red. And it's been a very closely divided state, obviously, went very narrowly for Biden in 2020, despite his Scranton roots. So I guess the real question from my standpoint has been, number one, how is Kamala Harris doing? And number two, in Pennsylvania,
mm-hmm.
number two, have people reached the point, and I think the hardcore Trump people haven't, but have others who might have voted for him in 2016 and even again in 2020, have they reached the point where they simply won't do it again? And I guess the third point on my mind, and I'm sure you're thinking about, is the question of who turns out their vote more effectively. Everyone knows that, you know, there's a lot of intensity on both sides. Who gets their vote out? And whether the women and the younger voters and the African-American voters that might make up Harris's coalition come out strongly. That's the question.
Yes. And, you know, I remember, you know, I think I told you this once before, that I was a Democratic ward leader for 8 years.
Yes, you did.
Yeah. So, you know, and I remember the Clinton campaign, Hillary Clinton, and, you know, people were that election night, they were saying, oh, we got this in the bag, you know, it's done. And I said, I don't know. You know, I just don't see the numbers. I don't see, you know, you go around and you look at the numbers of voters that came out, and she missed the mark in Philadelphia. You know, she missed it in some other areas as well, but I think turnout is everything. You're right, Ira. And it's, you know, are people juiced up enough that they come out in the type of wave that Obama generated? Obama, I've never seen anything like when Obama ran the first time, even the second time. But the first time, people were standing around the block waiting to vote. And it amazed,
yeah, no question.
Amazed me. I never saw that, you know, before.
No, it was an electrifying moment. But I'm hoping that when people look at Kamala Harris and they find somebody who has been just an extraordinary public servant all of her career. I mean, I'm amazed at how long she's been in public service as a prosecutor, as the San Francisco District Attorney, as the State Attorney General of California, as the Senator from California, and 3.5 years in the vice presidency, which is pretty good preparation.
Oh, yeah.
To be president, if you look at the experience of George H.W. Bush on the Republican side, or Joe Biden on the Democratic side. Those are pretty good preparations. And I think she brings both the toughness of a prosecutor, but also a great capacity for empathy, which she demonstrates for a lot of people, plus a tremendous commitment to our democracy and the rule of law. I mean, from my standpoint, as I said before, I kind of get why Donald Trump narrowly was elected president in 2016. But here we are 8 years later, felony convictions, rape convictions, January 6th and the attempt to basically incite a riot at the Capitol in order to prevent peaceful transfer of power, and kind of clear evidence every day that he's increasingly kind of unhinged in terms of the way he speaks. I guess the other thing that has upset me about Trump is that he's always failed what I think of as the first test of a leader. Does he want to bring us together? He's been a tool, you know, been heavily into dividing us rather than uniting us. It's tough enough to govern a diverse country if you're trying to bring people together, but he's made no effort to do that. And he stoked up the hatreds across the board in a way that I think is both dangerous and unacceptable for a presidential, for a president.
Absolutely. And then, of course, he botched the pandemic, which I think is, I don't think it's the biggest thing that happened, but definitely a very big thing that happened.
I agree with that. And I made a mistake in not itemizing it right at the top. You know, in before the pandemic, WHO rated countries in terms of who was best prepared for a pandemic. And the United States was regarded as the number one most prepared. And yet we lost a million people in that pandemic because he handled it irresponsibly. You know, we all remember him suggesting to people they take bleach, inject themselves with bleach, not wear masks, inviting people to super spreader events. One in Oklahoma, I remember, that ended up with Herman Cain, Republican candidate and businessman, leader, dying from it, and utterly irresponsible. So I frankly don't get how 45% of the country is still with him, but I'm hopeful that he has a ceiling, and that when this election occurs, the turnout will be strongly for the Democrats in the key states and around the country.
Well, here's some of the things that I guess concern me about this election. And one is the economy. When you look at the economy, everyday people, they're hurting. Prices, inflation is high. And yeah, the rate of inflation has come down, but you know that prices will not come down, because even if the rate of inflation drops, and it is, it has, the economy's gotten better, but those prices are not coming down anytime soon. Evidence of that? What did it cost to buy a house in 1970? What does it cost to buy a house today? Yeah, once those prices elevate.
Well, you know, that was like 50 years ago.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Inflation could get out of control, but.
Yeah. So.
No, I'm glad you're saying that to him. But I was going to say that there is no doubt that there was significant inflation, and certainly Biden's approval ratings and people's feelings about the economy reflected that jump up in inflation that was as we were coming out of COVID and the supply chain disruptions. But I think that, well, frankly, I think that one reason there was inflation was an unprecedented supply chain disruption that affected all countries, and we've come out of it better than mostly any other country. The second thing was, though, an effort that was made by Biden to make sure that our economy would recover. That was what the American Rescue Plan did. It put money in people's hands so that it would recover, and it would recover as quickly as possible. And yes, there was a risk of inflation, and it did cause some inflation. Mm-hmm. But we've actually had the strongest recovery in the world. And if you think back, you mentioned Obama before. If you think back to the 2008 Great Recession, coming out of it, we didn't stimulate the economy enough. the recovery took much longer than it should have. So the choice was made to stimulate more and deal with the possibility of inflation. And I think on balance, it's done pretty well.
Well, yeah, I agree with that. I guess as it reflects how people view Kamala Harris and the Democratic Party, do you think that the economy is going to hurt the Democratic Party, or do you think that she's making a good case that they did a lot of stimulating of the economy and giving the middle class
I think she's making as good a case as she can, while at the same time for what was done, while at the same time saying more still has to be done, particularly in terms of the cost of housing. She's got plans for 3 million additional housing units around the country and how to stimulate housing production. That would do a lot to make homes available to people that aren't now able to do it. The other thing, of course, is that because the economy has been doing well and inflation has been coming down, the Federal Reserve was able to stimulate the economy, you know, and not fear that they were kicking off more inflation. So I think right now that people are starting, I'm not going to overstate it, believe me, guys. I understand that people don't, they feel what they feel, and they know that prices did go up.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, they're starting to see job creation's been good, inflation's coming down, the Fed thinks we hit a soft landing, and so it can further stimulate the economy. So I think it's getting better. I'm not going to say it's going to be a plus for her. I think the real plus should be as they people get to know her and feel more comfortable with her and contrast her to the former president. I don't think that's a close contest.
Yeah, I think she has done a pretty good job of kind of defining herself and you know, her presidency, what it would look like. I think she's done an excellent job of doing that. I guess on the other side, you know, Trump is a wild card, you know, in a sense, you know.
With an emphasis on the word wild.
Yeah, exactly. because, you know, we know what he's like. We know that some of his people in his administration, top advisors, are supporting Kamala Harris, which I think is a terrific ad, you know, for Harris.
No, I agree with that.
Yeah.
I agree with that. I mean, you know, look, the hardcore Trump supporters will dismiss it. But the fact that so many of the people on Trump's national security team who have seen him close up, Defense Secretary Mattis,
mm-hmm.
former Chief of Staff Kelly,
yep.
Defense Secretary Asper, you go down the list, all these people are saying they'd never support Trump again, and they're supporting Kamala Harris. Now, Mike Pence, of course,
yep.
as well. So, I mean, you know, and so the loyalists will say, well, they've got their grievances, they, you know, whatever. The truth is, they saw him close up. They know he's a danger to our country. And we were reminded of this today with the late breaking news that Bob Woodward has a new book out, which says that Trump gave Vladimir Putin a COVID test, sent him a COVID test in 2020, and moreover, has spoken to him a half a dozen times since then, which raises again the concern of Trump's relationship to Russia, which has been a real concern of mine since the beginning of his administration, And even more so when he constantly opposed aid to Ukraine, to the point that even House Republicans broke with him on that. So you don't want a president who I think is in thrall for some reason to Vladimir Putin.
Absolutely not.
Yeah, I mean, I think he models himself after Putin. Yeah, he would like to be Putin. Yeah, he would like to be a dictator. And I think giving a chance again, he might do that. You know?
Yeah. We already know that there's not going to be any quote-unquote grown-ups in the room.
Yeah.
It's going to be a lot of yes-men.
I think that's exactly right. People ask me sometimes if Trump were elected again, whether I think the guardrails in the system would hold. And I think the answer is not really.
Yeah.
Because if the American people vote for him to be president again, given everything they know about him, I don't think there are very many guardrails. And certainly with a Supreme Court, with a radical Supreme Court, with a six-person supermajority, extreme, I think that there is the protection of our freedoms and our democracy is actually in the hands of the people now. I mean, that's up to we the people. The Senate failed us when they should have convicted him after the second. I think they should have convicted him twice, but after the second impeachment trial, the Senate failed us. The judicial system has tried to cope with it, but we've seen all the delays in the cases, and so they can't do it.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's up to the voters.
Yeah, and a slim part of the electorate is, because you don't have, you have people, I don't believe people are undecided. People may be independent, and they may be leaning towards one candidate or another. But I don't really believe at this juncture that there are a lot of undecided voters.
I read something today, and it might have been Charlie Cook's political report, where he said these undecided voters, he believes, are sort of undecided whether to vote or not.
Yeah.
Right. You know, they don't, a lot of them will not vote for Trump, but have not for some reason yet committed to Harris. And I think that the next month, I think that a lot of those people will make the decision to commit to Harris.
I hope
and
so.
We need a decisive result because we know that Trump will, if he loses, he will deny the election. He will say it was rigged. And the real question is, will he lose by enough that other Republicans will not stand by him? Last time, remember, they stood by and let the big lie blaze across the country for 5 weeks. And this time, we can't have that happen. Tell me how the Senate race is looking to you.
It's tight. I think it's tight. You know, I think I think Casey was in the lead, and I think that lead has dwindled a bit, you know. And I think it really depends on the top of the ticket. He'll get a lot of votes because of Trump. People are going to vote for the Republican down ballot. The only thing that Casey, I think, does have going for him is name recognition. You know, he's been there a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he's done, whether he's done a good job or he's kept his head down, but people do respect him in Pennsylvania.
Yeah, I think from what I can tell, I think that's true. I think, you know, McCormick is not, I mean, he's not one of the MAGA Republicans, right? I mean,
right.
Mm-hmm. He's not like Oz was, or certainly not like Mastriano was. And he's sort of an old style, sort of an old time kind of Republican, more internationalist, free trade, etc. From my standpoint, the real problem is that you've got to have a Democratic Senate. You've either got to have it so that Kamala Harris has a chance to govern, or you've got to have it in the worst case as some kind of a safeguard if Trump happens to win.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And the last time the Republicans controlled the Senate, they tried to destroy the Affordable Care Act. They did nothing on guns. They fought everything on energy and environment. Their record down the line, and of course, to their disgrace, they confirmed three radical Supreme Court justices, and then they basically let Trump off the hook after the second impeachment trial. When the Democrats got control of the Senate, a lot of things started happening on a bipartisan basis sometimes, or Democrats alone, where you could do that. So it's a question of whether you have a Senate that helps you govern and protects people's rights, or a Republican Senate. And all these races are, as you know, the balance is in the Senate is paper thin.
Oh, yes, so
absolutely.
You got to elect people like Bob Casey and Sherrod Brown in Ohio.
Well, I agree with you. I think it's, I think Pennsylvania is the place, is where it's going to happen. And hopefully people will recognize that this is, democracy is on the line here. It's. When I watched January 6 happen, and I watched that on TV, and as it was happening, I watched it live, and I just, tears came to my eyes, Ira, because I would have never have thought that. I would have never thought people would be storming the Capitol.
No, well, look, you and I are in the same boat there. I worked in the Senate for 12 years. I was in the Capitol a lot of times. I can't believe that it happened. Can't believe that a president would incite that kind of attack on the Capitol and stand by when even his vice president's life was potentially in jeopardy. And now I can't believe that some people have forgotten that.
Yes,
exactly.
Yes.
But I think Biden was right when he ran for office, the presidency originally. He said the soul of the country was on the line.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I think he was right then. And unfortunately, it's still on the line right now.
Exactly.
Well, my friend, we'll keep an eye out on, it's not too far from now, November 5th. So hopefully it will all work out in our favor. But
I'm not the only one. I'm sure a lot of people are going to be pacing holes into the ground.
Well, yeah, and we don't have any old-fashioned election nights. It's like a few days may go by unless it's very decisive.
Right.
I'm old enough to remember an allegedly close election that was shaping up between Ronald Reagan and Jimmy Carter. And at the very end, of course, it broke decisively for Reagan. It was a landslide at the presidential level, and it was also a wipeout at the Senate level. So times are different now, but I think it all does depend on what the turnout is, and if there's a positive, the turnout jumped from 2016 to 2020.
Yes.
There was like 20 million more voters. If there's another jump, I think that augurs very badly for Trump. I think he's got a low ceiling. So we'll see.
I agree. Yeah.
I just hope that they get to something like 340 or 350 electoral votes to make it decisive enough.
That would be great. That would be great.
Ira,
thank you, guys.
Thank you. Thank you for coming on the show.
You're welcome, and we'll definitely have you back once the election's over and we've caught our breath and everything else is hopefully back to normal.
Well, normal would be nice for a change.
That would
All
be.
Right.
Thank you so much.
Take care.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you, Ira.
We'll be right back after these words.
The world ain't all sunshine and rainbows. It's a very mean and nasty place, and I don't care how tough you are, it will beat you to your knees and keep you there permanently if you let it. You, me, or nobody is going to hit as hard as life. But it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward, how much you can take and keep moving forward. That's how winning is done. Now, if you know what you're worth, then go out and get what you're worth. But you got to be willing to take the hits and not pointing fingers saying you ain't where you want to be because of him or her or anybody. Cowards do that, and that ain't you. You're better than that.
The man in the arena. It's not the critic who counts. Not the man who points out how the strong man stumbles or where the doer of deeds could have done them better. The credit belongs to the man who is actually in the arena, whose face is marred by dust and sweat and blood, who strives valiantly, who errs, who comes up short again and again, because there is no effort without error and shortcoming, but who does actually strive to do the deeds, who knows great enthusiasms, the great devotions, who spends himself in a worthy cause, who at the best knows in the end the triumph of high achievement, and who at the worst, if he fails, at least fails while daring greatly, so that his place shall never be with those cold and timid souls who neither know victory nor defeat.
Okay. When it comes to father and son team, you gotta listen to Brian and Lee. It's the only way to go. They entertain some of the coolest things from the past to the future to right now. So tune in.
You're listening to the number one father and son team on radio, The Brian and Lee Show.
Wow. What an interview.
That was a great interview. He's a great guest.
He's very good.
He's been around politics for a long time. Yeah.
Apparently longer than you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, definitely longer than me. I think he went to the Senate like in 1975.
So oh, my gosh.
Gives you some idea, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he and I see the same thing happening.
Exactly.
So I think he's as concerned as I am.
I know I am.
We didn't even get to talk about international politics with him, you know.
Right, exactly.
Which is his bailiwick, so.
Ballywacks?
Yeah, ballywack.
I thought the term was his wheelhouse.
A wheelhouse, yeah. Hey, I wanted to let everybody know that a sad passing of Sissy Houston, mm-hmm. Whitney Houston's mom, and she was a...
She was a singer, too.
Singer, yeah. She was part of a group called the Sweet Inspirations, a gospel sound, and they did backup for a lot of people like Elvis Presley and mm-hmm. other people. So, you know, she was a talent in her own right.
Right.
Her cousin is Dionne Warwick. What a family.
Absolutely.
Know? They're underachievers, you know, I guess. I don't know.
She didn't go solo, did she?
No, she never went solo. She always was part of a group, you know, but she had a voice, and it's one of the reasons I think that Whitney Houston was so great, so successful, is that her mother, she had the talent from her mother. And
absolutely.
Yeah. She had the direction from her mother, which helps, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Now, Israel's been fighting for a year now, and
yeah.
They've been fighting for a long time in different times, but this is, I think, the longest war that I can remember going on.
Yeah, it's been going on for some time, you know. The only thing I can say is that it's one of those things.
It is one of those things, unfortunately.
Yeah. And I want to say Yom Kippur is tonight and tomorrow.
That's correct.
And have
a very meaningful fast.
Yeah, for those people that do that. And come back and listen to us next week.
In 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm. We'll be here live.
Right. We'll have a best of show next week and be back in time for Halloween.
All right. Halloween, scary show.
Exactly.
Be strong, stay strong.
The Brian and Lee Show is a BLS production.